Okay, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for family. Thank you, Lord, for just blessing us with people coming today, the family and friends that we haven't seen for a long time. And Lord, just the blessing of family and being your body here in Kansas City. And Lord, as we turn our attention to your word, we pray, Lord, with expectation that you would speak to us. We want to hear from you, Lord. So we pray that you would turn our attention, you would focus us on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if I was to ask you this morning, how many of you, and don't raise your hands because I don't want to embarrass you, but how many of you spoke to God this morning? Okay, one or two raised. You don't have to raise your hands because the next question is going to be a little awkward. How many of you spoke to God this morning? How many of you heard God speak to you this morning? Amen. Amen. Now, you know, people generally will say, yeah, I pray, I spoke to God. But fewer people will say, I heard God speak to me. Why is that? Fewer people would actually say, I heard God speak to me. I got a word from the Lord today. God spoke to me. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we get invited into a relationship. We get invited into a relationship with the all-powerful, all-holy, uncreated creator of the universe. And he says, come and speak to me, but I want to speak to you. He invites us. And he not only invites us to speak, but he orders our steps. And as we are led by the Spirit of God, he orders our steps and gives us direction along the way. So we should have that expectation that God is going to speak to us. In Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. You know, these aren't just simple Old Testament memory verses that we like to hear and are encouraging that we write on a card for someone. No, these are promises from God's Word. These are promises that God will order your steps, will speak to you, will direct you, and lead you. You know, I often hear people saying, well, I'm really struggling and I'm wrestling and I wish I could know God's will for my life. I wish I could know what God wants me to do. It all stems from the real question, does God really speak? Does God really speak to me? And does he speak to me? And so that's what I want to speak about today. You know, this supreme, uncreated creator, who lives in unapproachable glory, can we hear from him directly into our lives as his creation? Well, I've got good news for you. As some of you already have testified, yes, he does. God does speak. And it's not a mystery. It should be our normal Christian life of hearing God speak to us. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at that. And I'm so glad we've got so many people from YWAM here and so many YWAM background people, because this is kind of bread and butter for YWAM in hearing God's voice and being led by God. But many of you know this. But I want to go through the next 3 weeks. First week this week is why does God speak to us? Then next week, some of the how. And then the final week is what is the outcome? What is the result of God speaking to us? So today we're going to look at why God speaks to us. And I love the story, and I always go back to this when talking about hearing God's voice. It's the calling of the prophet Samuel. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we're going to read 1 Samuel chapter 3 together today. And if you want to follow in your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 3, it's not the most difficult book in the Bible to find. But if you'll turn there with me, and we'll start at verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. Just a sad testament of the times. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." So Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end, and I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What is it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more if you hide anything from me for all that he has told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Amen. This is such a wonderful account of the calling of the prophet Samuel. It's so powerful. And it's a story, though, that we often tell in children's church or in Sunday school to the children. It's a wonderful, you know, good story about God calling Samuel and running backwards and forwards to Eli. But when we tell it to the children, we forget about and we kind of hide the sins of Eli's sons and kind of the punishment that fell on them. But the reality is this story, this account in 1 Samuel chapter 3 is a huge turning point in the nation of Israel. It's a huge turning point. They're moving from the period of the judges, and that's about 1,000 years before Christ, and they're moving into the period of the kings. And there's a huge transition that's taking place. And God is appointing a prophet. Prior to this time, there wasn't many prophets that the Lord was really speaking to, as Eli would testify here, as the scripture says, Eli hadn't heard from the Lord in a long time. It's a turning point. But Samuel was called by God. He was someone that was attentive, someone that was humble, and someone that was waiting and serving. He was positioned in the right place. The interesting thing was Samuel didn't know the Lord, but he was humble and he was attentive. He was serving and in the right place. It reveals a lot about his character that he would run to Eli and say, "You called me." And he was there all the time. Remember, Samuel at this point was about 12 years old. He'd been serving in the temple for about 9 or 10 years. His mother, Hannah, had dedicated him to the Lord and taken him to the temple at about 3 years old and said, "Here he is. I promised the Lord my son Samuel," and dedicated him to the Lord. And Samuel served in the temple faithfully And seemingly, unquestioningly, he just gave his life to serving the Lord. But really, he was serving Eli. He was serving his mother. He didn't know the Lord. It wasn't, in his mind, there was no calling. This was just what his life was. But God had appointed him. God had called him out. Prior to this time, we only have two recorded prophets, but everything was about to change. This young boy, Samuel, this young boy that was eager to serve, that was attentive, that was waiting for something that he didn't even know was coming. God changed everything. Samuel didn't know the Lord yet. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. This is absolutely key. I don't want us to skip over this. Samuel was doing everything that was required of him. He was doing everything that was asked of him. He was serving the Lord in the temple. If anybody looked at him today, you would say, well, you're a really good Christian. You're doing everything you're supposed to do. You're up early in the morning, you're making sure the doors are closed at night, you're making sure the candles are lit, you're doing everything that's required of you. But he didn't know the Lord. And the tragedy is today that there are many people that are doing everything that's required of them to look outwardly like a good Christian, but they don't know the Lord. There's many people that are thinking they're serving the Lord in ministry even. There's pastors behind pulpits today that are doing everything right in the world's eyes, following what was required of them, but they don't know the Lord. My friends, don't be guilty of that. Don't think that by just coming to church every Sunday, by doing the right things, by writing a check once a month, by dressing the right way, speaking the right way, that does not make you a Christian. There has to be an intimate knowledge, a friendship, a relationship with the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and that He is the Lord of your life. That is what it is to be a Christian. My friends, if you don't hear from the Lord, if you don't hear God speaking to you, you need to go back to basics. You really need to go back to basics and say, do I really have a relationship with God? Do I really know God? Do I speak to Him and do I hear Him speaking to me? Because that's the basics of the relationship we have. When we submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we have the privilege of having this relationship with God. Jesus came down to this earth. He took on flesh. He lived amongst us. He suffered and died on the cross. He rose again, ascended into heaven, sent the Holy Spirit to live and abide in us so that we could have a relationship with God. So much more than what the Old Testament prophets experienced and knew. The Lord chose Samuel, this 12-year-old. He was humble. He had the right perspective. He was someone that could be used by God because his only agenda was to serve the Lord. He could be used by God. And ultimately, God used him in a mighty way, as we read in those verses. But Samuel was the one that God chose to anoint King Saul, the first king of Israel. Well, some might say, well, you know, God spoke to the prophets in the Old Testament. We have the prophets, you know, the writings of the Old Testament, who say, well, that was how God spoke, primarily through the prophets. And that was then, but this is different. Yes, this is very different. We're in a different era. We're in the church era, where Jesus has given us His Spirit to live in us. We should have a greater expectation of hearing God's voice than Samuel did, than any of the prophets did. We should have that expectation every day when we come before the Lord that He's going to speak to us. Whereas in the Old Testament times, they waited for God to speak. But we have the unlimited ability to communicate with our Creator. If that doesn't make you sit back and marvel, I don't know what will. The Creator of the universe says, I want to speak to you. I want to connect with you. And I want to reveal my love for you. You know, we live in the church age when Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit. In Jeremiah 31, verse 33, we read, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." This is the covenant that we're living in. Did you get that? This is the covenant that Jesus promised to the prophet Jeremiah. We're living in that. What a privilege we have. What an amazing privilege we have to live in the era that we're in. But we take it for granted. We just take it for granted. I'm sure the Old Testament prophets, if they knew what we experienced, which they do now, I'm sure they do now, they're looking back and saying, "Man, you guys have got it good. You know God. You have the ability. He's written his law in your heart, and he's communing with you." Remember Moses and Joshua. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 7 to 11, Moses and Joshua, we have the account of them going into the tent of meeting. And the tent was an established building or a tent that Moses had put outside the camp in the wilderness while the children of Israel were wandering around the wilderness for 40 years. And they would set up this tent, and when Moses and Joshua would go into the tent to meet with God, the pillar of cloud would come and sit on top of the tent, at the entrance of the tent. And everybody would come out of their tents and sit in awe and amazement that Moses is speaking to God. They would all come out and see this amazing thing happening, that here was a man. And verse 11 says that God would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks with his friend. So the children of Israel would come out and just watch in awe as God would speak to Moses in this tent of meeting. The Bible says that this tent of meeting was a special place where God encountered Moses. My friends, I've got such good news today. The tent of meeting is no longer a cloth structure made of wooden poles that's with pegs driven into the ground where God encounters. The tent of meeting is not this building or any other chapel or any other building in the world. The tent of meeting is right here. Do you get that? 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God?" My friends, under the new covenant, the tent of meeting has moved from a place remote from the camp to inside of us. That is incredible. What a privilege we have to be living under the new covenant. The presence of the living God in us. And the whole camp stood outside and watched in awe. My friends, when you exhibit the presence of God in your life, people around you notice. They see that person has been with God today. That person has encountered God today. Because God is within us. The problem is that we say, "Well, we cannot hear God. We cannot hear him speaking to us. We cannot encounter God." Well, the problem is because our world is so full of busyness. We clutter our minds with music and video games and the internet and sports and entertainment. Our life is just completely overrun by busyness. And we cannot be quiet before the Lord. We can never hear God speak to us because there's so many other voices competing. We need to learn how to slow down, pray that God would drown out the voices that Satan is throwing at us to compete against his voice. Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Do you hear Jesus' voice speaking to you? Next week, we're going to look at more in detail of how God speaks. So you have to come next week. And again, we cannot put God in a box and say, "Well, this is the only way God speaks." But we're going to look at a few of the ways God does speak. But why does God speak? Why does God speak to us? And it may seem very obvious. Well, obviously, God's speaking to me to give me instructions to tell me to do this, to go that way, to marry that person, and so on. No, my friends. That's not the primary reason why God speaks to us. God primarily speaks to reveal himself to us. God speaks primarily to declare his love for us. And out of that, then we start communing with God. God's primary purpose for speaking is to show us how much he loves us and to show us that he wants a relationship with us. He speaks to build a relationship with us. I am blessed to have two amazing children. Thank you, Christy. And I'd wake you up with that. I'm blessed to have two amazing children. But if I only spoke to them every time I wanted them to do something, what kind of a relationship is that? If every time I spoke to them, it was a directive saying, go here, do this, pick that up, and I never spoke to them or let them speak to me, there's no relationship in that. The other reason is, if I'm constantly giving them direction and telling them what to do, they don't know my heart and they don't know the reason why I'm telling them to do those things. If you know the directive, if you know the heart behind the directive, it's much easier to follow, isn't it? And it's the same with God. We know the Father behind the instructions. He speaks to us so that we can get to know him. We can get to love him because he loves us. And as we develop that relationship with him, then when he gives us instructions, we know that he's good. When he gives us directives, we know that he's faithful and that whatever he's telling us to do is for our good. And it may be crazy, it may be completely outlandish that God is telling us to do something or go somewhere that everyone around us says is crazy. We know God loves us. We know God is faithful because he has spoken to us and he has told us he loves us. And so that when he gives us a directive, we follow easily because we know and trust the one that's giving us the directive. That's the primary reason why God speaks to us. Looking back at Samuel didn't know God at that time. He didn't recognize God's voice. But as he became aware of God's voice, as he heard from the Lord, his relationship with the Lord grew, and he grew in stature himself. People trusted him. The Bible says that let none of his words fall to the ground. In other words, everything that he said had authority because he was speaking under the authority of God. And then verse 21, this is a verse that we quickly skip over. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, and the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Don't miss that. God revealed himself by the word of the Lord. God teaching him, instructing him, leading him through the law, through the word of the Lord. God speaks to us through his word, through the Bible. That's one of the primary ways that God speaks to us. God speaks to us through his word, and God confirms his word when he speaks to us. More about that next week. But God speaks to declare his love, to build relationships. You know, we've seen this many times in Scripture. When Moses stood before the burning bush, where was Moses at that time? He was herding sheep. For 40 years, his father-in-law's sheep, he was just wandering around for 40 years. He didn't have a relationship with the Lord. And God spoke to him out of the burning bush, and God revealed to him his name. And God revealed to him his love for him, and he's calling on him. God spoke to Samuel. As we know, God encountered Samuel. Samuel wasn't hearing God. He wasn't waiting for God. He thought it was Eli calling him. And God encountered him and revealed himself to him. But then looking at the New Testament, we have the Apostle Paul. Well, when he was still Saul and he was on his way to Damascus to go and persecute Christians. Remember, God encountered him. Jesus, the glory of Jesus, encountered him. He was blinded. And as he was lying there, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting." Notice in each of these and many other encounters with God throughout the Scriptures, who's the one that's being proactive? God is the one. God is always the one reaching out to his children. God is always the one reaching out to man and saying, I want to know you. So often we say, well, God is unapproachable. No, God is reaching out all the time. We're just not making ourselves available. We're not being still before him. In every one of these occasions, apart from Saul, because Saul was on a mission, he was going somewhere and he was probably hurrying through the desert when Jesus encountered him. And God had to arrest him and slow him down. But every other one was, they were quiet. Moses was really quiet. Nothing going on in the wilderness while he just had sheep to keep him company. Samuel was trying to sleep. And God reached down. God is always the one that's the proactive party in the relationship. God encounters people. We have to position ourselves to hear from the Lord. You know, when Samuel figured out, when Eli figured out what was happening, he said to Samuel, go lie down. And wait. Go lie down and be ready. And then when he speaks to you again, say, here I am, Lord, your servant heareth. I'm waiting. God speaks to Samuel. And then I love verse 15. Begins with, Samuel lay until morning. So after God spoke to Samuel, do you think he went to sleep? He'd had an amazing encounter with God. His life had just been completely transformed because he had met the creator of the universe. He did not sleep after that. He just lay until morning, probably pondering all that God had showed him, all that God had spoken to him. He was terrified to tell Eli about the coming destruction on his family. But when God speaks, everything changes. When God speaks to you, everything changes. But you have to position yourself to hear from God. You have to still yourself. You have to slow down. And then everything changes. So the question today is, have you encountered that God? Have you encountered that still small voice of God speaking to you and encountering you? Because everything changes after you've encountered God. You know, today we are so blessed from what Jesus did on the cross. We are so blessed that we have the Holy Spirit. We are so blessed to live in an age where God speaks to everyone who's listening, to all those who are called by his name. But we need to position ourselves. We need to be attentive. We need to be willing to respond. We need to be expecting God to speak. Again, it's you know, God doesn't speak for our benefit only. He speaks to develop a relationship with us, but then he gives us instructions that benefit those around us. God speaks to activate. God speaks to make an eternal impact on our lives and the lives of those around us. I can tell you many times that God has spoken to me. Many times of going on mountaintops, spending nights in prayer, on beaches and different prayer rooms, in different times of encountering the Lord in my study. I can tell you time after time of God speaking to me. One of the things that I'll share with you next week is how I journal, and God speaks to me as I journal. But, you know, we live in an age where we have to get away and silence ourselves. Every year I try to do a retreat where I just go away for 2 or 3 days and don't take anything except a Bible and a journal. And spend time with the Lord, asking the Lord for direction. And usually it takes me about 24 hours to just slow down. My mind is just going crazy. You know, when you turn the lights off and you turn off all sound, it's pretty loud, isn't it? There's so much going on in your mind. We have to position ourselves to slow down. Sit with God's word. With an expectation that he's going to speak to us. And waiting on the Lord. In 2006, I was overseeing a team of volunteers. Many of you know, after Hurricane Katrina. And we had a fairly large team of volunteers. And I was overseeing that. And we had thousands of people coming in from all over the country. And we were running many mission trips, but there were large mission trips, and to help people that were in the process of recovery after Hurricane Katrina. And near the end of the summer, Debbie came with Christy, and they came and visited, and we took a few days break and went to Long Beach, Mississippi, and stayed in one of the few hotels that was still open. And I woke up one morning, early one morning, and there's a clue in that. The Lord speaks when you get up early in the morning. It's pretty quiet early in the morning. So I woke up early one morning, and quite often the Lord wakes me up. I don't have to set an alarm. And I walked out, and I went on the beach in Long Beach, Mississippi. And it was a beautiful morning, and I was just asking the Lord questions, like, why am I here? How did I get to this point? It all just kind of hit me at once, like, what on earth am I doing? Why am I here? Here is a, you know, a boy from Cape Town who grew up as a pastor's son, and somehow ended up marrying someone that was way above his pay grade, and ended up, she drugged me to America, and here I was, and suddenly one thing led to the other, and now I'm leading over 2,000 volunteers after Hurricane Katrina in a city that I never thought I'd ever go to. Like, how did I get here? And I was asking the Lord all of these things, like, what on earth's going on? Because in my mind was like, okay, I look at the trajectory of where I've gone, and I say, Lord, where does this go? What do you have in store? And I didn't want to be presumptuous, but Lord, like, it's kind of getting out of my control. I have no idea where we're going, Lord. And immediately the Lord gave me 1 Corinthians 2:9. And I didn't know it was 1 Corinthians 2:9. The Lord does this sometimes. He just brings back a verse. And we know it's the Bible, just didn't know exactly where it was. But it says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. And as I remembered that verse, I said, well, yeah, but that's talking about heaven. You know, that's talking about what God has prepared. You know, in John 14, Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. That's what that verse is talking about, surely. And God said, immediately as I started dialoguing with the Lord, he says, no, if you walk with me, if you walk in holiness, dedicating your life to purity and holiness, no eye has seen and no ear has heard what I have in store for you today in this world and in the one to come. And I said, that's too marvelous for me to understand. But I'm going to pursue that. I'm going to follow that. And I believe that's a promise for everyone. It's not just my promise. That's a promise for everyone. If you walk in holiness and purity, asking the Lord daily for direction, asking the Lord to lead you, completely giving your life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, no eye has seen and no ear has heard what God has in store for you. People around you would be amazed at what God does. Last year, as I was going through some of my dad's old paperwork, I went through one of his prayer journals. And it's been 12 years at this time. It had been 12 years since that encounter with the Lord on Long Beach, Mississippi. And I was reading my dad's old prayer journals, and which I was blessed to have. And a piece of paper fell out. And on this piece of paper was a poem. And it started with, well, the title was, No Eye Has Seen. I said, wow, okay, I remember that. It's been 12 years, but I remember that. And so I read the poem, and I want to read it and share it with you. I think we've got it on the screen. No eye has seen, and no ear has heard, and no mind has ever conceived the glorious things that you have prepared for everyone who has believed. You brought us near, and you called us your own, and made us joint heirs with your Son. How high and how wide, how deep and how long, how sweet and how strong is your love. How lavish is your grace. How faithful your ways. How great is your love, O Lord. Objects of mercy, who should have known wrath, were filled with unspeakable joy, riches of wisdom, unsearchable wealth, and the wonder of knowing your voice. You are our greatest treasure and our great reward, our hope and our glorious King. As I said, that was 12 years later, the Lord showed me that, and I took that poem and it's now pinned above my desk in my office. God constantly reminding us how much He loves us, constantly reminding us how much He has in store for us. What a blessing. And then the line in the third stanza that stands out, and the wonder of knowing your voice. It is a wonder. It is a wonder that everyone in the Old Testament look back and they would be absolutely blown away if they have the experience, the encounter that we have today. The wonder of knowing God's voice. God, the Creator. I don't know if I can overemphasize it. The great, uncreated Creator of the universe that rules all things, holds all things. He lives in unapproachable glory and light. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to me. And He wants to develop a relationship. And He wants to tell us how much He loves us. He wants to tell you how much He loves you. God continues to speak to His children. God speaks to activate His children to do His will, to make an impact in our society. God affirms us. He encourages us. God is a good Father. That's one of the first things that God will show you, is that He loves you and that He is a good Father. He is the perfect Father. No matter how broken your relationship is with your own father, or how devastating that relationship was, God is the perfect Father. God speaks to lead us as we live by the Spirit. God speaks to convict us of sin, bringing us gently to repentance because His love for us. God gently reveals areas in our lives that are not fully committed to Him. He reveals areas in our lives that are not fully given over to Him to bring us closer to Him. Again, it's about the relationship. Jesus speaking in John 15, verse 26 and 27 says, "When the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit, whom I send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning." That's the words of Jesus. He says, the Holy Spirit will testify about me, but you then, as a response to that, will testify about me. So what does that mean? If God is speaking to you, you're going to speak to others about God. Someone that is witnessing, a disciple, a follower of Jesus, that truly knows Jesus as Lord, who hears God speaking to him, will automatically be one that shares the good news with others. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn. We have access into the Holy of Holies. And sometimes, you know, I say that a lot about the privilege we have of being in the Holy of Holies. And it's not symbolic. It's real. Our prayers come as incense before the Lord. It's real. The veil was torn from top to bottom. We do have access into the Holy of Holies. God reveals Himself to us. And as we learn about Him, as we trust Him, as we grow in our relationship with Him, we will tell others. We will tell our family. We will tell our friends. Because we will desire to make followers of Jesus. So as we close, what about you? Are you growing in your relationship with the Lord? Are you growing in your relationship with the Lord? Do you know Jesus more today than you knew this time last year, this time last week? Because as we hear from the Lord, as He shows us how much He loves us, as He reveals truth to us, we grow in our relationship with Him. Or are you going about your life like Eli did? Eli was really living. Remember, Eli was over the temple. He was the priest over the temple, but he didn't have a relationship with the Lord. He was living a dead religion. He didn't know God. He hadn't heard the word of God for many, many years. My friends, don't be like Eli. Don't be living dead religion. God has so much more in store for you. God has so much more he desires to reveal to you and call you to. You can hear God's voice. So I invite you today to pray with me. Take some time aside daily, early in the morning. Some time aside when you can just be quiet before the Lord, where you can ask the Lord to silence everything. Turn your phone off. Make sure the message signal is not on. No beeping. And let God speak to you. You will not regret it. But we can pray. We can ask God to silence all the competing voices. He does that. Lord, just still my mind. Allow me to hear from you. Open God's word. Sit with a journal and let him speak to you. Maybe today you realize that you want more. And as we close, the worship team is going to lead us in a song. But maybe today you've realized, yeah, I haven't heard God speak to me for a long, long time. I just need that fresh encounter with the Lord. There's so much busyness in my life, so much chaos in my life that I cannot hear God. I haven't heard from God in a long time. Won't you come forward? We'd love to pray with you. Love to pray with you just to allow God to encounter you in a fresh and a new way today. So as we close, our worship team is up. Our ministry team is coming forward. So please come. Let's encounter God today. And as we worship and as we sing, just ask the Lord to still all of the competing voices and say, I want to just focus on you for this few moments. And let's let God speak to us. Thank you. Amen.